Do you like that? You know what that callback was from? Is Shaniqua there?
You put some
hell no.
Yeah.
Shaniqua don't live here no more.
It's a good
one. I owe Little T and One Track Mike some royalty?
Yes, I think you that do. Song?
Okay. Okay, sorry. Derailed.
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. It's episode number 131.
Whoa,
131 is what I said. And I'm back, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Welcome.
I gave you a nickname last week.
Where have you been?
You didn't make a place. I assumed you made up a place. I didn't hear.
No, I gave you a nickname. I called you Broadway Matt.
Oh, yeah. And we said that you were skipping down Broadway with shiny shoes and your vacation hat.
Like a fur coat. Yeah.
No vacation hat, man. Not in New York. It's no vacation.
Okay. Oh, man.
New York ain't no vacation.
See, there you go.
Yeah, I was working for a couple weeks.
So you're up in the city?
In the city.
Adventuring?
Sure. From the hotel four blocks from my work to my job, yes.
We have to paint the picture for our listeners that there's this very exciting adventure going on in our lives.
Yeah. My adventure is called, like, can Matt get attainable Wi-Fi in the hotel every time he goes to New York? That's my adventure every time.
You could probably design an indie game around that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Sounds more exciting than Papers, Please.
I also end up...
Wow.
I also end up watching weird TV. I watched a documentary on Richard Feynman. You know who that is?
No,
I do not.
He is one of the leading scientists on the Manhattan Project. He's like the guy that is apparently like insanely smart, even though he's the one that I guess is not pop culture wise famous. Mm-hmm. But he's like super interesting dude. He basically was like a mix between like the personality of a Carl Sagan and the genius of like an Albert Einstein. It seemed like.
Oh wow.
Strange.
There were a lot of interesting people on that project. It was a pretty incredible situation.
Somehow like I never go to the science channels when I'm at home, and then when I'm at a hotel, they're like always like in the middle of the thing. So I always end up going by them and watching.
Huh, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, you're back.
Yay! Welcome. It's been kind of cold and drafty here without you.
Hey.
Scott and I got really, really tired of talking to each other, didn't we, Scott?
I think we did a pretty good job. we used our body heat to keep each other warm.
We did, but I noticed that we got very like serious. Like you and I were like very like we were really? Very like into the news and into the content. And, like I didn't make half as many dick jokes as normal. I think for some reason, like when Matt's around, I try and be as like dick-tacular as possible.
Wow.
I think it's like we say, the secret is that I'm actually more pervy and gross than you are in my sense of humor. I never do it on the podcast for unknown reasons. Yeah. So maybe you feel the need to fill that hole.
I do. I always feel the need to fill the holes. all of the holes.
Oh boy.
Let's do the rundown.
We are going to talk a little bit more about the Xbox One, specifically Assassin's Creed. What?
That came out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you hear about that? Hey, did you hear about the Xbox One? So we're going to talk about AC4, Black Flag, and Rise, Son of Rome. And then we are going to the holidays, or one of the holidays came and went, Thanksgiving. So we are now past the Black Friday and most of the Cyber Monday. So we will talk about shenanigans and what you bought. I want to know what you guys bought. And then Amazon is working on faster ways to deliver things to our house, and it's kind of scary and weird. And then we'll talk to you guys about Black Friday, you guys and gals. And then we will do our nerd sports update in the NAFL. And it is becoming tragic for Matt and I. I'll just tell you guys right now.
Yeah, it's not good.
But anyways, there you go. So, Ash, what's up, man?
Are you okay?
he had a microstroke.
So I went down south to visit my parents for Thanksgiving, which was awesome. It's always good to see them. They freakishly bought a home in the old neighborhood that I grew up in, so it's kind of weird to go back.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. And so I went and kind of stayed like a block away from where I grew up and hung out there and hooked up their Roku for them, and they finally got a nice Samsung flat screen TV, so they're all like tech savvy now.
Wow.
So that was really cool. Yeah, my parents were all watching Netflix and having fun and enjoying it, so they think it's really neat, and I'm very proud of them and their technological advances. Other than that, I have a kind of a funny story. My dogs are not smart. Well, okay. Well, they're kind of smart. They only know a few tricks, but one of the tricks that I'm very proud of is if you say go home, the dog will go to the cage no matter what is happening. There could be 80 burglars in the house. The house could be on fire. There could be people shooting at them with bullets. But if you say go home, they'll find their crate and they'll go home. It's just something we taught them when they were babies. Well, the problem is Xbox go home is a very commonly said thing with the new Xbox One. So I'll be yelling at my Xbox, Xbox go home, and the dog will run out of the fucking room and like dive into the cage and like expect a treat of some sort. Yeah. And the other thing is in Assassin's Creed 4, the main character, when you hide on cover, if you hit B, he'll whistle and he'll go and he'll attract enemies. Well, it sounds insanely realistic. So every time I would do it, my dog would come bursting in from the other room and just stare at the fucking speaker like I am summoning him. So I pretty much determined that my male dog Bauer is just psychologically tortured by the Xbox One. He like is living in constant fear of like all these new sounds happening, and he's running all around the house like, I don't know what the fuck world is anymore. So other than that, I visited family, played some more Xbox, really still enjoying the heck out of it. I guess I'll talk a little bit more about AC4 later, because I actually finished the game over the holiday break. And let's go to Matt.
So I worked, like I said before. I was in New York for a couple weeks, and we released on Right House in time. Yay!
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah, they're big carriers, so we already like it's already equal Comcast or something within 2 days, or I don't know, some weird number, but it's good. It's a good thing. But other than that, I saw Man of Steel. I rented that and watched it.
Nice. Did you loathe it?
No. While I understand why people would dislike it, I just thought it was okay. It's like every Zack Snyder movie to me. I think you and I have talked about this before, Ash, that like all of his movies are like fucking gorgeous movies.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of lack in the plot and storyline department a little bit. So like stuff just kind of happens in Man of Steel, and you're like, oh, okay, why didn't that just happen originally? Or why, I don't know. There's like a bunch of things that just kind of like, sure. So I did that. I'm trying to think. I watched some other stuff, but I can't think of what else I watched. I canceled my, I can talk about this here. I canceled my Xbox One pre-order, as you guys both know, I believe.
Right, you did not get one.
I did not get one. At the last minute, I was like, I just didn't know why I was buying it anymore. And I have other senses coming up that is like, I can't justify $600 right now for a machine and a game on like basically what was going to be a better cable box for me, or hoped for a better cable box. And there wasn't really much game wise. I'm not super excited about AC4. Rise wasn't really high on the list. Like, if Watch Dogs had come out, I think I probably honestly would have kept it just because I do want to play that game quite a bit. But everything else, I just couldn't really justify it. But what it did for me to do is go through my game collection and see what I have left to play on the first two machines. So I've got a huge game pile that I'm going to go through and play. And I've also been selling a bunch of my stuff on half.com, and it is going like amazingly well. It's weird. I kind of listed it thinking I would sell anything, and that I've just ended up trading them in through Amazon or something anyways.
Mm-hmm. This is probably the best time to do it too, because everyone's getting cheap PS3 bundles and stuff like that.
I've sold like a... I think I've sold 7 games for like $100.
That's awesome.
Seems pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that.
Lucrative.
So. Yeah, I'm making money, sort of. Like the worst saving plan ever created. Yeah. Bought it for 60, sold it for 10.
Hey, money's money.
Yeah. And then I've been playing a bunch. I told Scott to play this again. And Ash, you've got an iPad. You should definitely play this game. I re-downloaded Kingdom Rush on Android. Put it out for Android, finally. And I've been playing that game a ton on my Nexus. And it's good. As I said before, I reviewed it like a friggin' year ago or something. But is it a very good tower defense game on Android?
You do love the Kingdom Rush.
But yeah, so how about you, Scott?
Let's see. What did I do for Thanksgiving? Oh, I drove to my mom's, and my wife.
Oh yeah, I went to my brother's for Thanksgiving. Sorry, it was uneventful. But anyways, go ahead.
we cooked at my mom's house for the first time, and I don't think my mom took me seriously. You know, like I thought maybe she thought we were just going to show up, and then she was going to still end up cooking everything. But we had to boot her from the kitchen. But that was cool.
This is not a comment on you, but Jen is quite a cook. Like, why didn't she believe that Jen?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think she's still in that mindset where she's like gonna do, you know, she's gonna do everything. And we were at her house too, but
yeah.
And everything turned out great. It was really good, actually. It was only the traffic that was a bummer, but everything else was great. Let's see. I played a lot of Rise, Son of Rome, and I finished that, and I'll talk about that later on in the reviews. I did some cyber shopping on Amazon and on Steam, you know, as everybody knows, the big sales are going on right now. There's like a flash sale at the moment. I picked up Dragon Age Origins Ultimate Edition for $7.50.
Wow.
Which is dope.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think what I want to do...
On Steam?
On Steam. Because I wholeheartedly don't think that Dragon Age 1 was ever intended to be played with a controller. Because it just didn't work for me. It was too much... inventory management and stuff like that. So I'd really like to give it another go before Inquisition comes out, but play through that entire first game experience on the PC with a mouse and keyboard.
Awesome. I'm interested to see how you like it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to enjoy it much more, and I'll be able to get more into the tactical stuff, because I tried to play Dragon Age 1 the way that Dragon Age 2 actually plays. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what else we bought a real Christmas tree this year and put it up.
Yeah, it's the way to go.
Yeah. It's the first time I've ever done that. It was stupid easy too. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know why I was messing around with the fake tree for so long. Like, I want to get rid of the one we have now. Like, it's
dude, the smell is what gets it for me. Like, once you have that tree in your house, it's just so nice. It like really does just remind me of Christmas every year.
Yeah. It's really nice. I feel really good about it. And we like bought some new lights and everything. And I think that I really want to try to do the holidays this year, because last year I think I was very down about finishing school and I just didn't want to do anything, you know? So, I'm back in the game now.
Nice.
I also picked up my cap and gown today too. That was pretty awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
When are you strolling? And I say like strolling and not walking.
Just in like 2 weeks, man.
Yeah. What are we going to do? We have to have like a, you know, take you someplace crazy.
I don't know. You know, you get the old pizza baker hat thing that you wear, and like the big robes and whatnot. So that's
you get the fancy one.
Yeah.
Did you purchase your wand yet or no?
I do. I have a wand. Yeah. I need to take like a wizard picture with all this stuff on.
You do. That's going to be incredible.
I'm really more excited about that than the actual commencement. Is that, I think that says a lot about me.
I hope the robe they gave you is like quad XL on accident, and you just like, and you're just like fucking swimming in it as you walk.
No. It fits appropriately.
Damn it. Ruined everything.
You know what else is going to ruin everything?
News.
Amazon is building drones. News.
It's a good one. I really like that one. So this is all the rage, because when I first read it, I thought it was a bullshit article, because I was like, why would they ever do that? But for those who have not been paying attention to the internet for the past few days, Amazon is currently in the process of developing drones to deliver packages that are up to 5 pounds. and you hear that, and you're like, why? That's crazy. What, you know, what's the purpose? But if you think about it, it actually makes a lot of sense. So these drones would be, I don't know if they're obviously, I don't know if they're piloted.
I was going to say, they are unmanned.
Well, I don't know if they're piloted. I don't know if they're remote.
I feel like, I feel like at least initially somebody would have to pilot those.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they're going to be like, you know, fly by wire type deals. Yeah. But the idea is, of course, you're going to be able to order packages up to 5 pounds, and these drones are going to fly to your house and drop it off to you within 30 minutes of you actually ordering an object. So Scott and I were joking while Matt was reconnecting, and we were saying, like, there's so many things now you can order on Amazon. It's kind of insane. So, like, I ordered things like wasabi peas a few months back. And just thinking about all, like, the ridiculous shit you can have in 30 minutes, it's almost like a fucking wizardry at this point, you know? Like, I can just get anything I want within 30 minutes.
Maybe they'll build in a Amazon.com app into the Xbox One, and you can go, like, Xbox, order me wasabi peas from Amazon.
That's going to happen, yeah. And hopefully it makes the sound that the droids make in Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah. Like the reconnaissance droids, the torture droids. Yeah,
those would be so fucking awesome. So anyway, it's pretty fascinating. And I guess they did their big reveal the other day, and the reporters that were covering it had no idea that the CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, I believe is his name, that he was going to announce this at all. And it was on 60 Minutes. And so they revealed these drones to 60 Minutes, and people absolutely flipped their shit because they're like, yeah, look what we're developing.
That's what's the most amazing part to me, is that this is like probably one of the most futuristic things we've had happen in a long time, right? Mm-hmm. Amazon having drones deliver shit to your house. And they announced it on what has got to be the oldest person watched show.
Yeah, Charlie Rose.
On TV.
60 Minutes.
All I can imagine is, do you guys remember that SNL commercial where Sam Waterston from Law and Order, does the, do you have robot insurance for old people? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's like all I could think about when I heard that they announced this on 60 Minutes is like just terrified grandparents all over the country worrying that, you know, Jeff Bezos is going to send drones to your house.
Yeah. Well, let me just throw it out there. Hey, Amazon, if you're looking for an HRI researcher to help you make this work, I might know a guy. Freshly graduated, too, no less. Do it.
Amazing.
Yeah. You're unsullied.
Yeah.
That, man, that'd be actually a perfect thing for you. You can talk to them about how people are going to fall in love with these drones and try
or hate them.
Yeah, well,
or apparently shoot them out of the sky.
What are you talking about? There were a lot of comments like, oh man, all the Americans are going to do is shoot them down. And I'm like, who the fuck would want to shoot one down? Like,
free Xbox games, man.
That's true. Like, just gonna be drone hunters that like, I got me some fucking wasabi peas.
Yeah. This is the beginning of the end.
Oh man.
And then they're going to just outfit the drones with some kind of laser beam or something, and then we're really going to be in trouble.
I'm totally excited about that. So speaking about shopping and delivery of items, what did you do on Black Friday, Scott?
I did absolutely nothing, and it was great. I didn't go to the brick and mortar stores for Black Friday, but I did shop on the old Amazon.
I did too. I got some doorbusters.
Doorbusters, yeah. I know, like, in our Naquato later on, we're going to talk to our community about what deals they scored. But I picked up XCOM Enemy Within, the like complete edition for Xbox 360. So I'm excited.
Nice.
To. I never played the new XCOM, so I'm going to give it a go.
Nice. I think that is the version to play too. So I'll be
everyone jealous. Says it's good. Like, everybody says that it adds a lot of variety to the missions and everything. So I'm into it. I want to.
You'll really like it. It's
breathe new life into my 360, if you will.
Yeah. So you did a little Amazon shopping.
Yeah, and I've been watching the old Steam. Drones. Not delivered by drones. No. But I'm pretty sure the UPS guy probably hates me at this point because he comes like every other day. it's like he just wants to say, why can't you stagger your purchases to have them all arrive at the same time? Like, why do you have to order something every other day and then have me come back out? I don't know.
He's probably happy that he hasn't been replaced by a fucking flying drone yet.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure the UPS guy dropped the Xbox One out of his truck before he delivered it to my doorstep. So
He did that on purpose, totally.
Oh, I'm sure. It was late in the day, you know.
Yeah, he's just like, fuck you, kid.
Kid.
Whippersnapper. I was probably his age or younger.
He goes, fuck you, kid, in your video games.
Yeah, maybe I was older. I don't know. So, yeah. And then, like I said, I picked up Dragon Age, which I'm really stoked about. Oh, I also bought Rocksmith 2014. I'm going to try
to buy it?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get back into playing some guitar.
Listen, I totally stopped playing that game entirely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's painful for me because it's too slow. Like, if you know how to play, it's kind of like... Yeah, I got it. Let's move a little quicker.
But, oh, no, this is not a tool for you. I mean, this is something like I'm, you know, we're talking about a guy here that played a little guitar in high school and then didn't play a lot of guitar after high school.
So. Sir, you did some Weezer solos in high school. Thank you very much.
I did. And I played That Thing You Do and I learned some hum songs. Yeah. So I can pick it up. It's like riding a bike. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be fine.
All right. Fair enough.
You still have your old red Fender Strat?
Yeah, I do, with the weird stickers on it and everything. Plus the one that you gave me, your old guitar. I still have that, too.
I gave you an old guitar?
Yeah, you gave me a an Epiphone or something.
That's sweet.
So thanks for that, buddy.
You're welcome.
I'm going to get that set up.
When did I give you a guitar?
I don't know,
I remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Had a lot of guitars in my life.
Derailed. Did you buy anything, Matt, for the old Black Friday?
So on Amazon, I didn't buy that much. I bought like a thing for our record player in our living room, and I bought a couple of gifts that I cannot mention at the moment.
And like gifts, like images?
Like, yeah, like animated JPEGs, if you will.
For Tumblr. You bought them for Tumblr.
I bought a couple of those because I'm trying to amp my Tumblr up. So hopefully that'll work out. Gotta get those Tumblr views. I don't know if that's a thing.
What is Tumblr?
And then I did go to one brick and mortar store, which was dangerous, but I made it out relatively unscathed. But I went to Guitar Center and bought.
Hey.
I bought this thing that I think you would love, Scott. It's a $50 analog synth, and Korg made it. And it's this little plastic case. It looks like a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that.
Looks
like it's disposable or something.
It's ridiculous, and it's got an analog delay built into it, and the thing's insane.
That's
and,
awesome.
It's pretty awesome. And then I bought a new controller for MIDI stuff from a brand called Arturia, who's our sponsor this week, Arturia.
Thank you, Arturia.
And Amazon drone delivery. Death soldiers. How about you, Ash? Did you get anything or no?
I don't really like to go shopping in brick and mortar stores on Black Friday anymore, just because it got to be a little bit too hectic. I had a couple pretty bad experiences with parking and just.
Did you really?
Overall insanity in the past. Yeah, I mean, just people being absolutely crazy. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the general sentiment on Black Friday is like it becomes very competitive.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
Yeah, right. And people become aggressive because I think the media really paints Black Friday out to be this highly competitive event where you have to, you know, get the deals that other people can't get, and
right.
You have to do better than other people and get more steals than other people.
Can we call it like Friendly Friday instead? Do you think that would work a little better?
I think Friendly Friday would be.
Did you guys read why it's called Black Friday?
No, why is it called Black Friday?
Because in Philadelphia. Because of the travel for the holidays, the roads used to get really congested. I think that's what it was, and they called it Black Friday due to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with sales at first, from what I remember.
Interesting.
And then it just kind of got adopted as a sale day.
And interesting.
Then, yeah, and then just went from there.
Good old Black Friday.
I'm trying to look it up for us, but somebody used a stun gun on somebody in Philadelphia on Black Friday this year, so.
Yeah, you didn't get stunned this year, right, Ash?
Sorry?
You didn't get stunned this year, right?
No, not this year. Yeah, so I didn't go out. I ordered some stuff on Amazon. I got some new headphones for the show and some other fun stuff. But it was a pretty, you know, a laid-back day of non-shopping for me.
That's cool, yeah.
I mean, good.
I think I played video games as well most of the time.
I think having it be relaxed is the way it should be. I kind
of
just hung out at the house and... watch some TV. I didn't really do much at all.
Solid. Well, the last thing I wanted to talk about was something I just read, and that is that Star Wars launched an Instagram account. And the first picture is Darth Vader taking a selfie.
That's
so
perfect.
I guess this is in anticipation of the new movies, that the first one comes out in December 2015.
That's amazing.
So maybe following this Instagram account will give you a glimpse into something that might be happening with these films. I don't know.
That's pretty exciting.
Cool
though.
It's kind of cool. I'll have to follow it. It'll be better than the Lexus ads that Instagram's been feeding me for the past week.
Right. do you think, I mean, it's weird. I'm kind of surprised that Star Wars didn't have an account before, or maybe they had an Instagram account and just wiped it out and started again. You know?
I don't know. What would they post? They're not super social. What would they post on Instagram, I feel like?
Yeah, I mean, even their Facebook is more like nostalgic than it is informative.
Yeah.
I guess it's hard when you're not producing like new content, which is, I guess, why they're doing it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the last thing I want to talk about was Star Wars.
Is it just at Star Wars, or I would assume?
Yeah, it's just Star Wars, which is confusing because, you know, the question is, did they own that before and not use it? Did they?
Oh, they'll buy it. Those big brands buy their name from people like pretty quickly.
Sure, of course.
Which is what we should have all done, by the way, instead of investing our money in savings, is just pick up a bunch of names on Twitter.
Oh, like we could have been social media squatters.
I know. Yeah. Geniuses.
Yeah. Let's wait for the next thing. Whatever the next big thing is, we'll be on top of it. You know, like we should have grabbed a bunch of Vine names right away, but we missed that one.
Yeah, we should have done that.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Path. Silly us. We'll go to Path and we'll do it there. People use Path, right?
Like, isn't it old hat now? I think Path.
Yeah, I don't know. I used it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I used it for a week or two.
All right. Cool.
Okay, we are back for some reviews, and last week I talked a little bit about Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, and this week I actually beat Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, and
no
while
spoilers.
I'm not going to reveal, no spoilers, it's going to be spoiler-free. I do just want to say from a history nerd's perspective, they did a really great job of trying to incorporate the real history of a lot of these characters into the narrative of the game. I know Assassin's Creed always does this, but they obviously take some historical liberties, but a lot of the events on how characters pass away and also the relationship between characters is actually a big part of this game. So if you have any interest at all in pirates and the history of pirates and, you know, Blackbeard and Anne Bonny and all those really fun historical pirates from the golden age of pirates, this is going to be a huge treat for you because it is like you get to, you know, kind of be a part of their lives and their adventures and kind of see piracy from a different perspective than the media often portrays pirates, you know. So overall, the game was an absolute blast. I put in a lot of time and I still didn't 100% everything. There's the progression is top notch. You really do feel as you know, you spend time with your ship and build up your ship that you are, you know, becoming a better pirate. And eventually you'll be able to take on, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 ships at a time and be able to come out on top. So you feel like a huge badass during the naval combat sections.
I think it's really cool the way that they distributed all the weapons around the boat. Like you have to kind of like look in the direction of the thing that you want to fire. But I feel like that works really well in the ship combat.
It did. Absolutely. Yeah. So if you look forward, you can fire your bolo guns. What are those things called? Not bolo guns.
They were like chain. It's like chain shot.
Chain shot.
I don't know if it's still called that, but that's what it's called now. I mean, that's what it used to be called.
Yeah, chain shot. So you can fire chain shot, and then you have different guns on the sides, and you can shoot explosive barrels out of the back, and it's awesome. And then once you, of course, damage a ship, you can hop off and board the enemy ship, and there's a lot of like mini challenges once you board enemy ships, like taking down flags or taking down their snipers. Or, you know, killing the captain. So there's a lot to do in the game.
Do you ever just use the swivel gun right next to your right next to the helm, and like don't even bother boarding the ship. You just kind of pick everybody
up.
Oh,
yeah. If you can do that, that's awesome. But eventually you'll hit ships that have like 20 people on them. Uh-huh. And so you'll have no choice but to, you know, hop on board and do a little damage.
That's great. I feel like a lot of the innovation in this game was all the headway was made in the ship combat, like in the ship mechanics
It's all so incredibly seamless too, which is one of the things that makes it so much fun. Like you can, you know, sail your ship to any of the islands on the map, hop off at any time and run around and, you know, buy things or go on missions and then hop right back on your ship with no load time. And it's just it's a pretty impressive thing that they did with this. And I don't know if anything's ever really, if any game has really had that seamless of a transition between gaming types. I mean, you know, the ship combat is its own entire thing, and having no load between that and melee combat is a pretty impressive feat, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty cool. And like I said, I actually did start playing the game as much as I bitch and moan about it. Like a lot of my complaints with the Assassin's Creed franchise are with the direction of the narrative, but I think the reason why I complain so much is that I like sort of the lore of the Assassin's Creed universe so much that I'm still sort of drawn to playing these games.
So I'm actually interested because you and I, Scott, have, although yours vary a little bit more towards the more current time period for Assassin's Creed, some of our complaints were the same about, like, you know, feeling like we were basically just a slaughter machine at some points, you know, not necessarily during the main narratives, but during like some of the add-ons and stuff where it just felt like we were running around rooftops killing guards, essentially.
Yeah.
Is it fixed a little? Did they approach that? Is it a completely different approach as to how the narrative works?
No.
Being a pirate? Or does it make more sense now that you are a pirate? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's confusing because you're a pirate, right? So you are able to behave as such, but... You know, the question that I asked Ash last week is, you know, why didn't they just call this game Pirate's Creed?
Right.
And I'm probably not far enough into the narrative to be able to answer that question accurately. But it's weird, you know, because the guy early on in the game, the guy basically just encounters an assassin and like steals his clothes. Right. But somehow he has eagle vision, but has never been trained in the arts of.
It's in the clothes.
It's in the, no. Yeah, he puts the suit on.
It's not in the clothes.
Yeah, that must be what it is. Well, thanks for clearing that up. I'm satisfied now. But, you know, that it's like weird stuff like that where it's like, it, you know, things have to be done to make the narrative work.
Right.
But
I mean, I guess I'm saying, like, I don't know that I have a problem with it if it makes sense in the fact that you are a pirate. You know what I mean? Like, there was a point in 2.7 or whatever, like the third installment of 2,
Revelations,
where, yeah, like you are literally just running around killing people, but you're still Ezio, you know, and you're not even Ezio, are you? Or yeah, you're still Ezio.
Yeah.
And it just gets a little confusing because you're just like, well, I don't feel like I'm the guy on the mission anymore, you know, like, and maybe being a pirate, it kind of gives you that leeway of having that narrative of going around and being a pirate. Like that, I think that makes sense. There's nothing really wrong with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And as a game by itself, I don't dislike this game. I think it's really fun to play. But of course, like I've mentioned last week and on previous podcasts, my primary interest with Assassin's Creed is with sort of the meta story and the lore that spans the entire,
right.
This sort of like alternate history aspect of the franchise. So I don't know.
So I'm enjoying. I mean, Ash, that you completed it. Does it get back into that at all towards the end?
The time you spend in the future timeline is kind of few and far between. I think there's maybe 3 or perhaps 4 sequences that you spend in the future timeline. But they explain the events that occur at the end of Assassin's Creed 3. They explain what happens. Mm-hmm. They explain kind of where the franchise is going to go, which I thought was great. The thing that's really interesting about the future timeline in this game is Abstergo. It opens up its own video game company. And this is really meta. It's really weird. But they open up their own video game company and they are more or less using a lot of the memory sequences. They're hiring game testers to come in and test different memory sequences in order to sell a better video game. So it's a branch of the evil Abstergo of the Templars, but they have their own game company and are trying to make the best experience for game players. So you play as more or less a game tester who's testing out the memories of, you know, Subject 17 in this meta timeline. And there's actually fake trailers for different games they're developing. And
it is like, so bizarre.
It is. It's all really tongue-in-cheek. You know, there are really cool things, though, if you're interested in the lore. Like, you find a file that tells you all of Subject 17's different potential games. So they're basically saying, hey, here are all the different games that, you know, Altair's Bloodline we could use. And there's a long list, you know, has like things like Egypt and World War One and all these interesting timelines. And then there's like a joke in there that's like, oh, we can never make a World War One or World War Two game because those games have vehicles and other game companies do adventure games with vehicles much better than we do. Basically saying we'll never make an Assassin's Creed with vehicles because GTA does it better. So
sorry,
World War One and World War Two fans.
It's kind of weird, the commentary that they insert into the game. I wonder if it distracts from... You know what I'm saying? If it distracts from... If it takes you out of it.
You know, to be honest, I think for me it clarified a lot of things. Like, I felt like the future storyline was always a little bit muddled. And I feel like when this one was done, I kind of got where they can go with the franchise. Because there did come a point where we're going to have to stop playing games about Subject 17 because his story is more or less over. And the story is more about the conflict between the Templars and the Assassins. And it's way beyond one bloodline within that story.
Right. Sure.
So they're opening up opportunities, I believe, in this game to explore a variety of different bloodlines. I mean, for instance, Aveline, who is in the PS Vita game Assassin's Creed Liberation. She's mentioned in some of the documents you find as well. And she's from the bloodline of Subject 1, I believe.
That's getting an HD remake. It's coming to 360 at the beginning of the new year, like January 4th.
Really?
360, yeah. Not 1?
Yeah, yeah. It's wow. Coming to like PS3, PC, Xbox 360. It's going to be the...
Hey, that's okay with me, guys.
Hey, yeah. It's going to be the HD remake of Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation with Aveline, I believe, is what it
totally,
is.
I'm all about that. I'm all about that.
Yeah, I think it's only going to be like $20.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Can I ask a sort of what-if question, I guess, for Scott?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
If that approach had been taken, let's say, right away at Game 2, where like the storyline ended... Do you know what I mean? Like the storyline ended in the future time and maybe picked up with a different subject. And like all of a sudden it was like they were making it clear that this was a bigger story about two factions and not necessarily about a single character. Would that have, do you think that would have cleared some of it up for you and kind of been okay that it was just set pieces?
I think so, because the thing that I always thought may have happened in this game was something, it happened in one of the games a little bit, but a situation in which you would primarily play as Desmond.
Yeah.
And you would be doing Assassin's Creed type things in modern times. And there were some parts of, I think, the previous game or maybe Revelations where you were in third person and running around and stabbing people.
It wasn't Revelations, it was Brotherhood, I believe.
Oh, okay. I mean,
right,
whatever.
I
but
think so. It was one of the Ezio storylines.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess the question is, what is the narrative of this game? That's what I want to see. I would like to see more of a coherent direction. So if this installment sort of resets everything and gets people thinking about the broader picture and sets up some kind of, cohesion.
Goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely felt a little haloed at a certain point, you know, where like the mm-hmm. storyline had gotten so ridiculously large that it was just like, what am I... Like, I don't understand what I'm learning about right now, you know, like,
yeah, like the whole solar flare event was really kind of put me off. But
so maybe
yeah. And they do address that in the narrative of this game. They basically say, you know, not to spoil anything, but the whole concept of the precursor race, they address that and they say like, oh, it's not time yet for the big thing to happen. They say like, they're basically saying we have 5 more games to go. Right. Then the big thing will happen. But until then, we're going to make a lot of money doing a lot of other things.
And
they kind of list what some of those other things might be. So,
and I definitely don't begrudge them that, you know, I mean, the game, like at its core, it's still a fun game. And like, I'm still going to play Black Flag at some point because like, you know, it is still Assassin's Creed in a way. It's still a game that I enjoy the mechanic. I enjoy what's going on. You know, it's still pretty awesome every time you climb something and you do the eagle dive. And, like, there's still awesome moments to it, right? So, like, I get the point that they need to extend it because this is a good moneymaker for them. It definitely does feel, though, I do agree with Scott, where it feels like they lost kind of the heart at some point and it just became all mechanic, I guess, you know?
Yeah. The other thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit was the technology, and I was going to ask you, Ash, did you play the game with the iPad connected at all?
No, I didn't. I didn't do that.
Okay, so through a clever promotion on Amazon, I acquired this game on PC. So I've been playing on PC through Uplay, no less. And yeah, I know, right? And it's not bad, believe it or not. So you're able to take an iPad and download and an Assassin's Creed Black Flag app, and it basically serves as a companion to your game. So you can do things like have a map open, check your whatever, you know, when you have, there's a secondary objective you have to complete, something like that. If you need to go into the codex to look at an entry, it does a lot of different things. So I find it very useful when I'm out at sea because I can have this map open. And you can actually set waypoints on the map, and then they update in the game. So you don't have to go into the map to find what you're looking for. I can just kind of be cruising through the ocean, pull up the map on the iPad, figure out what I'm trying to do, and then dial it up and just keep moving.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's
really cool.
It's surprisingly good. It's weird because they made a second screen experience outside of things like the PlayStation app and Xbox Smart Glass. But in doing that, they made an app that works with all platforms because what they do is it all connects through Uplay. So as long as you're whatever platform you're playing on, as long as you're connected to Uplay, the iPad can connect through Uplay to your game and then transfer data back and forth. So I find it really interesting and useful while I'm playing the game. So I would encourage people just to at least check it out. I mean, at least give it a shot because it's really cool when you see it in action. It works really well for me.
That's like exactly the experience that I was hoping for and worried about with Smart Glass, which is like, I want it to feel awesome and useful that you have a second screen, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I understand from a developer's perspective, like creating that experience just for one platform seems pretty limiting, you know, like you're pretty much going like, I'm going to sell to 1/3 of my, you know, audience That's awesome. Second screen experience. That's kind of cool that they did it through their own technology to make it work across platform, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Assassin's Creed franchise is extremely guilty of having a multitude of apps for different things, you know, mini games, card trading games.
Well, but this is that's different sounding. That's not.
I mean, Assassin's Creed, this franchise makes so many other things that are sort of auxiliary to the core games. It's just cool that they made this particular thing because the first time that you get out at sea and you're looking for, let's say you're looking for a ship or you're charting a course and you want to try to avoid, you know, confrontation or whatever, I can just look at the map and go, oh, okay, I can go this way or whatever. Or if there's a treasure chest or something I need to find, it's right there and I can just tap it, set the waypoint and go straight there.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And then
it's stuff you would have been doing like 5 clicks through to find and do the old way, right? Like,
yeah, because I'm constantly in Assassin's Creed. I always find myself going back to the map, zooming in, zooming out, scrolling around, looking at things, setting waypoints, and the game experience becomes much faster when you don't have to do stuff like that, and you can just have everything in front of you while you're playing.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
And I'm constantly guilty of progressing through a sequence, like an actual mission in the game. And when you get to a checkpoint, all of a sudden secondary objectives appear, and I constantly miss those.
Yeah.
So I'm able to have secondary objectives on my screen constantly on the second screen so that I don't forget to do them while I'm progressing through the mission. So those two things in particular I find really useful, but it does a bunch of other stuff too. You know, that you could, it's basically the pause menu, but you don't have to go into the pause menu anymore.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's weird. It actually, it works in the metagame modern times too. So when you come out of the Animus, it shows you a map of Abstergo Entertainment, like the building. It's super really strange. Cool. Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was, through playing this game, I discovered that there is a website called Assassin's Creed Initiates. And that is more of a sort of more of like a stat tracking slash marketing tool. It tracks your progress across all of the Assassin's Creed games that you've ever played.
Oh boy.
And then it's got some meta games built into it too, where you answer trivia questions and you scout around on a map. It's like a scavenger hunt, and sort of your knowledge of the Assassin's Creed history helps you answer those questions. And through participating in this website, you gain experience, and sometimes it'll unlock things in the core game. So I unlocked, for example, two sets of sails for my ship that you could not unlock anywhere else other than Assassin's Creed Initiates. So,
oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
There's stuff like that. And then at the same time, there's also stuff where it's like, hey, if you buy from our physical website this particular statue of Ezio, you know, then it unlocks something else. So I guess if you're really like hardcore into Assassin's Creed and collecting, I'm kind of saying it almost like in a bad way. I probably shouldn't, because if this were the same thing for Mass Effect, I would be, you know, all about it. But so, you know, if you want to buy things like the Edward Kenway button up shirt or the Ezio, you know, Todd McFarlane?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Hey.
Well, it's a really snarky, sarcastic version of the game all of a sudden.
Yeah. Snarky Ezio.
Kind of,
yeah,
racist. It's weird.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just killing off characters for no reason. What the fuck? Where was I going?
Sorry.
Yeah, so if that's your thing, so you can log in and see how you've done across all of your Assassin's Creed games, if you've, you know, how far you've synchronized and stats about how many kills you have, your multiplayer statistics. It's kind of like a hub, just like Halo has a hub. AC Initiates is the hub for Assassin's Creed, and it's kind of cool. So if you are a super fan, you should check that out as well.
Let's talk about Rome. Yeah, let's talk about Rise, or Rise, as I like to call it.
Rise, son of Rome. The Xbox One launch title that I picked up was Rise, Son of Rome. I picked it up primarily because it was the only new IP that was coming out for the system, so I just kind of wanted to try it. And the game is gorgeous. It looks really good. It's built on the Crytek engine. You know, the vistas are spectacular. There is sort of one criticism of the game that people that have read the reviews, you'll see in all the reviews, and that is that the combat system doesn't evolve, is maybe the word I'm looking for. Pretty much the combat options that you have at the beginning of the game are basically the combat options that you have for the entire game.
Okay. So there's little progression in terms of the way you fight.
Yeah, so this might be comparable to games like, the combat system is sort of like maybe like a Batman or like God of War, that, you know, that third person physical combat style. But the difference is that in those games, in like a game like Batman or God of War, you unlock additional combos. So you'll start the game and you'll have XXX, and then you unlock XXXY, and that does something different. In Rise, Son of Rome, you kind of just have the same stuff the whole time. And the things that you unlock are different ways to execute your enemies. But from a gameplay perspective, there's no difference. Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense. And so, I understand how that could be perhaps a little frustrating, you know?
Yeah, and so that's the complaint that people make. And what that results in is people tend to say that the gameplay becomes very stale very quickly and it becomes repetitive. While I understand sort of the criticism, I feel as if the game is interesting enough that the combat, you know, you can sort of see beyond that to enjoy what the game has to offer, because it has sort of this linear story progression, sort of maybe like kind of like Uncharted has, where you're kind of just along for the ride and you're like experiencing a movie and there's not really a lot of deviation in the paths. You're kind of just on a linear path through fighting hordes of enemies and doing all kinds of crazy things. But at the same time, there's an interesting narrative about, political internal turmoil in Rome, the British barbarians attacking Rome, stuff like I'm not
takes
like
this takes place in Britain, right? That's the majority of it. You're actually in the British Isles someplace.
Yeah, I'm not like a history buff, so I don't want to butcher this like a jerk, but there are scenes that take place in Rome, and then you travel to the British Isles to confront barbarians and do stuff there. Uh-huh. You have confrontations with the political leaders of your faction, as well as the British faction, the barbarian faction. And then there's just like stuff that you want to see in those games, such as epic battles with crazy enemies and sieges, defending towers, and running through massive battles where there's people fighting all around you and you're just kind of like hacking and slashing your way through. And that's, for me, I thought that was enough to get it done. The other criticism is that the game, people say the game is short, but at about 10 hours, I feel like that is the length that a game like that should be, because I don't know that I would want a linear story like that to be that much longer.
Yeah, I mean, did the story make sense? Did you feel like the narrative was actually fun and did it have, good momentum and such throughout?
Yeah, I mean, it like reminded me of a God of War style narrative. There was some tension in the game, sort of. I don't want to say that it's, at the level of Game of Thrones, but it's Game of Thrones-like. In terms of the intrigue that's going on or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the most difficult story to figure out, but I found it interesting. There is something satisfying about, even though the combat system doesn't change a whole lot over the course of the game, it's still satisfying to get into a combat situation, just like you do in Black Flag, where you chain together these kills without having anyone, hit you or whatever, not sustaining any damage. There's single and dual executions, and the dual executions take a little bit more planning and finesse to pull off. So, being able to do things like drawing two enemies in and then wearing them down to the point that you can unlock this double execution, like that kind of stuff is really cool.
That is, yeah.
So, are you, is the positive of this game that, you did get it on discount for...
Yeah, Amazon was selling those launch titles for $50, so yeah. For me that was good.
But I mean, is the takeaway that while this isn't a game that's going to set a new standard for Xbox One, that it still is a pretty gorgeous, fun game to play? It's not
absolutely.
Kameo or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Kameo Elements of Power. It's definitely not Perfect Dark Zero or whatever that was. I think that was probably worse than
Kameo. How to ruin an IP in one game kind of thing.
Oh yeah, don't get me started. Perfect Dark. Did you have that N64, that red thing you had to stick in your console to make that game work? You remember that?
This is a question for Ash, not me, because
I used your
N64.
I never had Perfect Dark.
You remember there were a couple of games that came out for the N64 that were so intense that you had to buy this sort of graphics memory upgrade jumper pack and stick that into your
it had
N64.
To just be like SD RAM, right, that you were just throwing in the
probably that was a fantastic game. But anyways, I think it, and honestly, Rise Summer of Rome, I think, is interesting enough that if they wanted to create a sequel like in a year or two from now and improve upon the thing that's already there,
right,
I think that would be totally doable. And I don't think the game, it's like a 6 or 7 game out of 10, even though we don't rate things. But that's kind of where it's like, it's better than average. It's not gonna melt your face off, but it's beautiful to look at. The combat is satisfying. It's really awesome.
On your Xbox record this that you played a bit of the arena mode. How is the multiplayer combat arena, sort of the gladiatorial arena?
Okay, yeah. So the second function of this game is that there is a multiplayer mode, which takes place in the Colosseum, and in a way it's kind of like Mass Effect multiplayer, where you get thrown into these environments and there are certain objectives that you have to achieve in each round. So in one round it might be like catch the couriers and kill them, and then in another round it might be like burn down these encampments or something. But the whole time you have enemies attacking you, so you're trying to fend off the enemies while completing the objectives. And so that's pretty cool. The thing that's sort of a bummer is that it only supports two players. So
okay.
Yeah, you go online and it's weird when you just hook up with like one other person, you know? It's not mm-hmm. weird when you get into Mass Effect multiplayer and there's three other people. But when it's just you and someone else and you're like, should I talk to this person? Should I just mute my microphone? Right. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is yeah. weird.
I still adhere to the don't talk to strangers online philosophy. I still adhere to the don't talk to strangers online philosophy.
Yeah, yeah.
What if people meet the love of their life, though?
That's possible. That's true. It could happen. I don't know if it'll happen in Rise, Son of Rome, but it can happen. my only complaint, my real complaint is not even the fact that it's only two players. It's the way that the progression system works. And it's based off of, again, it's similar to Mass Effect multiplayer in the sense where when you compete in the arena, you gain this currency. And then instead of upgrading your character, you use the currency to buy like booster packs. And so the booster packs might include new equipment for your gladiator. It might include consumables that you can only use once when you take them into the round. But unlike Mass Effect multiplayer, the booster packs are tiered to your level. So at level whatever I was, you know, when you start at level 0 or 1 or whatever, you can only buy booster packs from the first tier. So there are 5 tiers, and each tier has 3 qualities of booster packs, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So I guess the complaint is that you would have to play this game a really long time to have access to those higher level booster packs to even get something that's good in the first place. Whereas, you know, in Mass Effect multiplayer, if you save enough money to buy like a Spectre pack, even if you're inexperienced, you might get a really good weapon straight away that can help you for the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? So that's kind of my beef with it, is that it just kind of feels like a grind. And when there's only 2 people to play with, it becomes sort of not as interesting. And I think that if this had the capacity to support more people, it wouldn't feel like such a grind to get to those higher levels to unlock that better equipment and so on and so on. So,
that makes sense.
That's the thing. I still think it's a good game. I think that if this were to go on sale later on, if, you know, sometime in 2014, this became one of the first things that was on the new Xbox One Games with Gold promotion, like, it would be incredible. I think that's it. I pretty much covered everything. I kind of left out some of the gameplay aspects of the single player, just like the formation battles and everything. But I think there's enough there to sustain some interest, even if it's on like a rental or a temporary basis. I don't know if it's something that you'll own for a long time.
Cool.
But if it comes out, like if it were to come out on sale later, then for sure.
Well, I'm a big fan of that period in history, but I was kind of waiting to hear what a lot of people thought of the game before I plopped down the money for it. So it's definitely on my list. I'll probably pick it up for the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, I think the combat is fun. You know, personally, like, I'm already looking at selling my copy, but I feel like it would be something that later on down the line, I might buy the digital version of instead, so just so I could have it on my hard drive.
Cool.
Why don't we take one more break, and we will come back to see what you guys and gals scored on Black Friday Sale Spectacular.
Hi, this is Amy Acker, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
All right, so we're back with the Nerd Appropriate Question of the Week, and we're asking you guys about Black Friday and if you guys had any Black Friday experiences or any tales of terror, and you guys responded with some pretty funny ones. So here we go. The first one's actually from Joshin, who lives in Canada. And we actually have a couple of responses from Canada this week. And he says, we don't get Black Friday in Canada, but I saw some deals. Didn't want to deal with the lineup. There's a lot of the not wanting to deal with stuff that we're going to be getting here.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I feel that. Sean D. Knight. I think he's over from Presta Rise, yeah?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Yes, sir. He says, hell no. Do you like that? You know what that callback was from? Is Shaniqua there?
You put some
hell no.
Yeah.
Shaniqua don't live here no more.
It's a good
do
one.
I owe Lil T and One Track Mike some royalty
yes,
for singing
I think you
that
do.
Song? Okay. Okay, sorry. Derailed.
Oh, God. 90s callback.
Yeah.
Andrew Baker at abakern7 says, other than the 42,000 steps I took working the last few days, no crazy Black Friday stories. Canada is too polite sometimes.
I would not say too polite, considering that we fight and tase each other in America. I think politeness goes a long way.
I think, yeah, it's not too polite. It's just not crazy insane.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference.
Yeah. Ash, do you want to take this next one?
Sure. So we got two from Robert Freemering this week, and he actually sent us one via Twitter, and it says, oh, I do. I worked retail for 13 years, going right back out there. And then he sent us an email, which means that we get
mailbag.
Something from the mailbag. And the mailbag says, I've been working retail for 13 years, thankfully, not at the infamous Insanity stores with fights. Besides electronics, the number one items are the stocks on sale. I'm helping a customer, and this little old lady shoves me against the counter with her cart and yells at me to move. I was stunned, and I had to reply, hey, the only direction I can go is that way. You need to back up. She grumbled, but did just that, and the customer I was already helping was speechless. I've had people ask what the person looked like who bought the last thing they were looking for. That's so scary. What does that person look like?
Oh, no.
I've seen plenty of people trying to buy items from each other when something sold out. Customers lift one another to get Xboxes from the shelves 8 feet off the floor. And my favorite question, are you busy?
Hey, buddy, you doing anything right now?
Yeah. No, I'm not doing anything.
That one part, the asking what the last person looked for, reminds me of a Seinfeld bit, of course, which is George tries to rent a movie because he didn't read the book that he... It was Breakfast at Tiffany's, I think. Is that a book, maybe?
I don't know.
Anyways, he was supposed to read a book for a book club. He didn't read it, so he goes to rent the movie. The movie's out of stock at the video store, mind you. And he... So he asks for their address and they give it to him and he shows up at their apartment and watches the movie with them and it's
oh my god,
it's ridiculous. I love Seinfeld.
That's awesome.
Anyways, Dan Thompson at IMDTM, our good buddy DTM. I actually like that his Twitter handle is IMDTM.
Yeah, he owns it.
He says, I went to Park Ave CDs for Black Friday Record Store Day. No mayhem, just sweet, sweet records. Scott scored a record out of that.
Yeah, STP reissue.
Core.
Yeah.
Nicely done, sir.
I am smelling like the road that somebody gave me.
Amazing.
Man, that's
you
impressive.
You spawned. So I went to the record. You got it. Jacob, our friend Jacob, got you the record. But I went to the store to get it shortly after. And you spawned a conversation between me and two of the employees, Tierney and Brooklyn. And we were talking about when STP became horrible and what the last dealable record is.
Oh, come on.
I think it was Tiny Music was the one that
we
all agreed
on. Thought I celebrate their entire catalog until
even with Chester from Linkin Park, you're still
that's
okay with
where
it?
I draw the line with Chester. Yeah. He sings it about as well as I do. Anyways, Stumpy Nat says, I got a stomach bug, so I'm quarantined, but I can see a Walmart from a nearby window.
Oh, man. I would just watch all day with binoculars. Yeah.
She should have time-lapsed that.
Oh, my gosh. It would be like buffalo in the fields. So we have one from Wes Watson who says, no Friday Tale of Terror, rather, just a Monday one for a large portion of Alberta. And then he sends us a link to some news about some of the events that occurred on Black Friday in Alberta. So thanks for sending that, Wes.
That's so scary.
Did anybody get tased? Still the best story out of Philly.
There's a lot of stories like that. I've been reading a lot of like PS4 assaults. Like people apparently in San Francisco, somebody put like an ad up to sell a PlayStation 4. And the guy showed up with a PlayStation 4 and got shot and killed. And his PlayStation 4 got stolen. That just happened the other day.
Can we all agree that it's not... there are more PS4s coming. It's not...
You could have pre-ordered a PS4 on Amazon as early as, like, I don't know, May?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I believe the murderer probably just wanted it for free.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess that's not what I was talking about, but yes, yeah, you are correct.
I just mean that maybe it's not worth murdering over, you know?
Probably not.
I agree.
If Killzone was better, perhaps.
Anyways. That was the best. Richard Ingram says, PS4s run out of stock over the weekend, only to be restocked today. Well, up here in Sudbury. Yes, so I guess Sudbury. The PS4 shortage is running rampant all over the place.
Yep.
We'll be back for the holidays.
It will.
Isn't it always weird that for, I don't know if you guys ever noticed this, like the first time you walk into a store and you see that thing on the shelf that people couldn't buy like just weeks before and you're like, huh. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah,
you're like,
when I used to be a toy collector, that was like the biggest high for me because I'd go to like different stores. I'd go out on Saturday and go to like five different retail stores to look for action figures. This is a long time ago. And I would get so excited. It was back when like Batman the Animated Series figures are out. And I remember finding a Harley Quinn and being like, it was like the ultimate experience, you know, because those were like not on the shelves anywhere. Yeah.
Like you feel like you did something wrong. You're like standing there and you're holding it and you're like, am I pulling a fast one here?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But isn't part of it like we've talked about this before with like Comic-Con where people will wait hours in the Hall H line to watch like a preview for a movie that comes out like 3 months later. And it's kind of like, hey, everybody.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'm really glad we're all, you know, super into this. Let's all remain super into it. But maybe we can also be cooler about it and not stab each other over things.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
It's not necessary. Like, both these systems only have, like, a handful of games on them. So it's not like you're not super missing out on anything right now, you know? It's like a very early adopter situation right now.
It is. But that's okay. People just like their stuff, man.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Hey, do you guys want to do a nerd sports update?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Oh, man.
Because we're terrible at this.
I know. I'm not looking forward to doing this, but I will continue to promote the awesomeness that is our Nerd Appropriate Fantasy Football League on NFL.com.
Yes.
So let us take a look at the standings this week. And it looks like we have Nate Hales from Reset Transmission, who is currently in first place. That may change by tomorrow night.
I think it is changing, yeah.
Yep. In second place is Rex's Warriors, who has been up near the top of the pack all season. My team, Stanley Spadowski's Clubhouse, is currently in third place, but I feel like I'm about to fall out, followed by Dwyer Straits and so on.
Hey, what place am I in, Scott?
Hey, you're in last place.
Oh, cool. Worth it.
And here's the thing. You ready for this? I'm actually depending on you to beat Karen Weeks this week.
I am not going to.
No, you still have... I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope.
No, I see the scores right now. Because I think we have our fantasy playoffs starting next week.
We do.
We have an 8-team league. Only the top 4 teams will make it in. I believe that if I lose this week, I will be out of the playoffs. And it looks like we're going to have Dwyer Straits and Karen Weeks as our final 2 teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's exciting. You know, if Nate Hales wins, we're going to have to get him an ugly trophy or something.
I said at the beginning of the season, and I maintain that the winner will receive something. I don't know what it is yet.
Okay.
From winning this league, and that will happen. So, but the key is they have to send us a picture, whoever ends up winning, of whatever they win. So.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll make sure that happens, but there are no details.
Right.
All right.
Looks like Nate Hales and Echap are the favorites.
Yeah.
But you know, I feel like you can never count out Beholder the Glory.
You can't.
Just because.
No. She just kicked my ass this week.
She has a magical team. So if she ends up winning this whole thing, that would be amazing as well. So we'll have to see what happens.
She has a magical team, or she has a magical quarterback.
Yeah, she has a magical quarterback. But she picked that quarterback, so
she did.
To her credit, I think she's doing all right.
She is. She's doing all right.
All right. So that's your NAFL update. We'll be moving into the playoffs next week. It'll be very exciting.
Crazy.
I was in first once, guys.
Yeah, so was I. What happened to that? Those were the days. We, Matt and I could talk about fantasy football all night. We probably shouldn't.
Yeah. I'm terrible in all my leagues.
Yeah. So next year, there's always next
year.
All right, Ash, I think it is time to take us home.
Is it time to get out of here? All right.
It is time to get out of here.
Well, this has been episode 131 of the Rated NA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. You guys can find us on Twitter, and that's at nerdappropriate. You can email us directly, and that is Matt, Scott, Ash, and Hillary with one L at nerdappropriate.com. We're on Facebook /nerdappropriate, and we usually have some fun stuff going on there. We do have some guests coming up in December, and there's a couple I guess we are able to announce because they just got confirmed. One, we just found out as we were recording this, Amy Acker is actually coming back.
Sweet. Amazing.
Yeah, she's coming
back.
She's coming back for more action, more nerd appropriate fun. And so she'll be on, looks to be a couple weeks from now, but she'll be here in December. So you'll hear that one in December. And awesome. Veronica Belmont is going to be on, actually, I believe, the next episode. So we'll have Veronica on the show as well. And some other ones to be announced, but definitely tune in. And we have some fun guests coming up for the holidays as our treat to you guys. So,
yes,
as always, thank you guys so much. And we'll be back next week with more excitement.
See ya. You know, we already have Black Friday, and then we've got Small Business Saturday. We've got Cyber Monday. Like,
yeah,
I think we've spread the shopping out enough. We don't need a Thanksgiving Day. Like, just, I don't know. It's a little.
It's
going to
be like a support your local podcast Sunday.
Oh, well, we should start that. That's a very good idea, actually.